Tech of Sports, episode 17 for July 11th, 2012. 2012 Olympian Nick Del Popolo, judo. This week on the Tech of Sports, Nick Del Popolo. Netcast Studio mobile apps are a great way to receive our content for your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android. And don't forget the Stitcher radio app for all iOS devices. Get Stitcher for your favorite Netcast Studios, preloaded. Stitcher Radio is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone and tablet. Stitcher, it's smart radio for your smartphone. And the Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. The Tech of Sports is also a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. Join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, usually at netcaststudio.com/live, where you can join the chat room and listen to the show live. I appreciate everybody joining a little early tonight for a very special episode, and we're going to be talking with Nick Del Popolo, who's on his way to London here in a few days for the Olympics, and he's going to try to bring home a medal. And the hype has already started for the Olympics, and it's T-minus 17 days until the start and the opening ceremonies. And the Olympics really is a culmination of many years of hard work, training, and competition for these athletes. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to talk with one of them tonight. He's heading to London, a dream of winning a medal and maybe even a gold in judo. He's in the 73-kilogram weight class, and he's Nick Del Popolo. And outside of being a great athlete, he's got a great story. A little about judo, that sport originated in Japan, where it really is a huge national sport over there. It's also popular in places like the Soviet Union, France, Brazil, Mongolia, and a lot of similar principles to wrestling. Requires the participants to throw or slam opponents in a controlled motion. And other popular moves are pinning the opponent for 25 seconds or submission through a choke or an arm lock. Judo is very instinctive, and every match is different and unique. Our guest was actually born in Montenegro, and he was adopted by a family in New Jersey at the age of two. And he had an interest and aptitude for judo at an early age. When he was five, Nick's father took him to Cranford Judo and Karate Center in Cranford, New Jersey, and signed him up for judo classes. Dojo there happened to be run by a 1988 and 1992 Olympian judo coach, who was a judo coach for the Olympics in those years. He progressed as a junior in wrestling, not in judo, but he found his way back to judo, thankfully, under the guidance of Olympian Jimmy Pedro, and he rose up the world rankings. He's now 23 years old, and he's the top-ranked judo in participant in the United States and ranked number 16 currently in the world, I believe. He won a bronze medal last year at the Pan Am Games, and he's won gold at the U.S. Open, as well as the Venezuela and El Salvador World Cup events. He finished ninth at the 2010 World Championships, and luckily he's found time to stop by the Tech of Sports on his way to London. And Nick, appreciate you joining us.
I guess most people have seen wrestling as a sport, but maybe not judo. Can you maybe talk about some of the similarities and differences?
Some of the differences between wrestling and judo, they're a lot more similar than they are different. One similarity is that the one objective is to pin your opponent. The only thing is, in judo, you have to have control, just back exposure, any back exposure for 25 seconds without your opponent getting off their back or locking your leg. Or in wrestling, you just have to, you know, pay your opponent's shoulders down the mat immediately, and then it's over. In judo, if you throw your opponent for, you know, with enough power, control, and speed, it's the end of the match, which is, can be the same in Olympic-style wrestling. It's actually very similar to scoring, too. There's five-point moves in wrestling, which are kind of like wazaris in judo, which are half points, and there's three-point moves, which are like, you know, small scores in yuko, which is a yuko in judo. So they're a lot alike. Just judo's got arm locks, chokes, and it's 1 5-minute round instead of, you know, up to three mini matches, which is Olympic style wrestling. So
yeah, I think
just a couple of similarities and differences.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have seen, they've covered the wrestling a little bit, but not really the judo. So I guess there's some misconceptions there. But I guess talk about your training leading up to the games and kind of the training routine you've been in. I guess your goal is kind of to peak at the games. Is that right?
Right. I mean, it's a goal. You know, whether you're or not, we'll see. But either way, like, if I have it that day, fantastic. You know, let's see how far I can go with it. If I don't have it that day, fine. You know, I've competed enough to where I haven't, you know, felt like the best or even close to my best, and still have done pretty well. So it's just, to me, really, it's mostly about, you know, day of tournament, like, your attitude and mindset. So if you have a good attitude, you're more than likely going to do better. But in terms of preparation leading up to the games, it's been a lot of endurance based and a lot of lifts to lift, or a lot of lifts to make my explosiveness better.
Sure.
So I'm looking for like short spurts, so like you know 1 to 3 reps for lifts of not such heavy weight, like, that it's gonna have so much trauma on my body, but good amount to where I can feel it's just like a judo match, you know, and I just keep going and going and going for 45 minutes, so it's like a judo match or two, like right back to back. And then for running, it's mostly just wind sprints, just that same, you know, to try and replicate a judo match, the same feeling of a judo match.
Okay.
With lifting, running, any practice, it's all to replicate a very hard, you know, up to 10 to 15 minute judo contest, so...
I guess you got to watch your diet. Your diet is important, also.
Absolutely, yeah. Like you don't want to get too heavy, and you don't want to also get too light, just because then, you know, you want to train them down to what you're probably going to fight, which is for me is like 75, 76 kilos. So
okay,
to like probably that 167, but I don't get too much heavier than that.
How technical do you get in preparing for a match? Is there a video study? Is there an analysis of the opponent? Do you look at do you look at kinetics? How technical do you get personally?
I watch a lot of my opponents live on the internet, live, not live, you know, past matches from up to 3 to 4 years ago, just to see I watch a lot of their matches. If they have any tendencies or, you know, usual ways that they'll lose or usual styles that they'll struggle with, to try and keep that in the back of my mind before I fight any of these guys. But the more important thing is, I mean, you can only do so much, you can only study a guy so much, you know, so you have to, technically, I just try to work on what I need to work on to be a well-rounded competitor. So it's mostly offensive-based, you know, so I can, because the best defense really in almost any one-on-one sport is usually a good offense. You don't have to worry about not getting thrown or not getting pinned or choked if you just constantly stay offensive and, you know, have a good variety of moves that you can use. So I'm constantly trying to add to my game just for me, so I can have different answers in different situations rather than study for each and every guy. You know what I'm saying? So I can become more well-rounded, so I'm tougher than me, so they have to study for me.
Yeah, I hear that. I get to talk to a lot of professional athletes, and I hear that, especially from the elite athletes. While they do look at and think about their opponents, they're more focused on their own game and themselves, and they feel when they're at their best, that's where they stand the best chance of winning and not really worrying about what the other guys do.
Right. That's kind of I'll take that answer exactly. You know, watch and study your opponents to some extent, but the most important thing, you gotta worry about yourself and editing your game, so then they'll study for you, and if they do study for you, they'll answer B, C, D, X, Y, and Z when they, you know, have the answer to your first attack or your first technique. So I'm just trying to become more well-rounded and just tougher to beat for any variety of players.
Sure. What do you know, or how much do you know about the venue where the judo is going to be taking place?
I just seen pictures, that's it. That's all I know about the venue, is just a couple pictures, and that's about it.
Okay. And when do you find out about the draw and your potential opponents?
I think the first day of competition, so the first day of the Olympics, so I'll know my draw, I'm pretty sure, fairly sure.
And how much are you looking forward to the opening ceremonies, which is something we'll all be watching back here? Are you going to march in the opening ceremonies?
The opening ceremonies, and I am looking forward to it, but I'm looking more forward to what, you know, my parents, my friends, you know, all the people that know me or, you know, are going to, if hopefully they'll see me on TV and see me marching. You know, I'm looking forward more for their sake than mine. It's cool, it's an honor, and don't get me wrong, I'm looking forward to myself for selfish purposes, but I'm more looking forward to, you know, my friends and family, you know, gathering around and getting whooped to see me on TV or just hearing the opening ceremonies. I think that's awesome for them.
And I guess today it was kind of unveiled what the athletes for the U.S. are going to be wearing in the opening ceremonies. Did you get a chance to see them? How do you feel about wearing a beret?
I don't mind. It's just I have a pretty big head, so usually they have big enough berets. But I saw the uniforms. I think they're pretty slick. You really can't go wrong with Ralph Lauren. So.
You kind of are known maybe for your hairstyle, your haircut. Are you going to get a haircut before the opening ceremony?
Yeah, probably. I have to get all fresh and look good. I guess what you got to look good so you play good.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here for Amazon.com. And just want to let all the listeners at Netcast Studio know out there that if they're going to be doing any shopping come Olympic time or around the Olympics, if you're going to be buying anything off of Amazon, you can use the affiliate link, netcaststudio.com/Amazon, for any of your shopping needs. And there's no extra cost to you, and it helps out the studio and the variety of programming it provides to the listeners. And I always give a pick for something that the viewers can buy and listeners can buy. And there's a book by Nicholas Soames, Roy Inman, and David Finch. It's called Olympic Judo, History and Techniques. And I don't know how well you can put judo into a book, Nick, but do you collect judo books, or have you read books on judo, or have you read that book?
I haven't read that book in particular, but I have read a number of judo books, or skimmed them at least, and for the most part, they do a pretty good job of getting in general, they do the people who write judo-based books do a decent job describing and detailing judo.
Okay, and like I said, that book's available on Amazon. You can go to the affiliate link, netcaststudio.com/Amazon, for that. And any books you'll be taking across the pond or be taking over there? Do you read in your spare time, Nick?
Yeah, I do. I'm actually in the middle of a drive by Larry Bird.
Okay.
It's his autobiography, pretty much. So that's usually the type of reading I read. It's just autobiographies of either athletes or people who had to persevere through something incredible, or, you know, just something, some good stories, autobiographies is my style of reading. So,
yeah.
Just to get some motivation or so.
Are you a basketball fan then?
Yeah, I am.
I guess when we talk about the Olympics, there's just a ton of sports, and you'll have maybe a chance to see some of the other sports and meet some of the athletes. Are there any athletes in particular you're looking to meet, or any sports you're looking to watch, or people from other countries you're looking to try to get a chance to associate with when you're over there?
I just mentioned that I like basketball, so I'd like to meet our new, we'll call it dream team, our United States, Kobe Bryant, and, you know, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and all those guys. That'd be pretty cool, but you know, maybe people like Michael Phelps or Shawn Johnson. I'd like to get all the top U.S. Olympians. That'd be cool. Or it would be really cool for me to meet some of the tennis guys like Rafael Nadal or Roger Federer. That'd be very cool for me, because I'm a huge fan of tennis, and I think it would be such an honor to meet guys like that.
Yeah, I'm a big tennis fan too, and I cover the sport, so that would... Tennis is kind of unique, because all the top professionals will be over there, and I don't know if those guys stay at the Olympic Village or not, but I guess if you have a chance to go to Wimbledon and take in some tennis, that would be a big highlight for you.
I definitely am. I'm trying to make that happen. So.
Yeah, that's a great experience, and if you're a tennis fan at all, that would be great for you to get to. And what about any tips or advice for young kids getting into judo? how do you recommend they go about that? And not only tips for the kids, but maybe tips for the parents that want to get their kids into judo.
For kids and parents generally, it's just any individual combat sport like judo, wrestling, anything, but judo more specifically, I think if they just give it time, not rush it or try to, you know, worry about results or this and that, it's going to keep getting good. And if you just take your time, and if a kid tries to just take his time and learn the sport rather than try to hurry up and win, they're going to have a lot more success and have a lot more fun with the sport if you just try to take your time and learn as much as you can before you dive into worrying about, you know, titles and championships and teams and anything else.
Sure. And you've really shot up the rankings and really improved pretty quickly in a short period of time. What do you have to do to try to win a medal? Is it mental with you? I think you have all the physical skills, but what do you personally need to do for a chance to bring home a medal?
Really, it's just it beating most of those guys in the tournament. It's just a matter of beating them all on the same day. So what that's going to require is winning my hump match. A lot of times in tournaments, I'll lose in the quarterfinal or right before I can possibly get a medal. So I have to break through and win my, you know, we'll call it a hump match, just a match to get over the hump. So I have to beat a guy in a late round. And I'm, you know, probably not supposed to beat on paper, but that's what it's going to take. One, maybe two very big wins. Fight for medal or get a medal.
I don't know what your relationship is with the coach you're going to have over there, but are they planning big pep talks for you guys in judo, or what do you know about the coach and the staff that's going to be over there? I'm sure they're first rate, but have you worked with those guys before?
The head coach is actually Jimmy Pedro. I was at his studio for 3 years,
okay.
So I'm pretty familiar with him. And the staff has been traveling with us for the last 4 years, so I'm pretty familiar with all of them. And I'm pretty familiar with all the teammates, so it's pretty comfortable. There's nothing I can really complain about. It's just, that in terms of pep talks or hey, maybe I'm not really sure what they have planned, but I think, I'm pretty comfortable with the whole staff and Jimmy and everybody, so it's good.
Yeah, and I always ask all my guests as we're kind of wrapping up here, the one piece of modern technology that you can't live without, that you always have to have at your side, what would you say that is?
I could probably live without modern technology. But if I had to choose something, I guess your car, if that counts.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess it would be a car because I find that way more useful over anything else I own that's, technology based. Like, I love my video game console, but I don't need it. I like my phone, but I don't need it. I really need my car, I think. So.
Yeah. Sometimes, probably the last few weeks, you probably wish you didn't have that phone.
That's what I was gonna say. It's more of a dag than anything else, but you know, I don't want to get that one. Got to be reached. So
when you qualified for the Olympics, how many text messages and messages were waiting for you on your phone there?
Oh man, within 24 hours, there probably wasn't a 3 or 4 minute break when my phone was going off of something from Facebook or Twitter or Skype or AIM, phone call, texting, whatever, email, everything. It didn't matter. No, there was like people coming out of the woodwork that I haven't seen in, literally 15 years. They're like, hey man, I heard you made it. So it's pretty funny, but
yeah.
It's just funny.
That's got to make you feel good, but one other point I want to get across is, you're not a multimillionaire doing this, and I know that you Olympians scrape by to get to this particular point in their life. And tell listeners how they can can follow what you're doing and maybe contribute to your effort as the games head up and after the games, depending on what you're going to do. Give a couple plugs for your site and how they can follow you.
The easiest way to follow me or donate to me anything is by going to my website, www.mcdowellpopwork.com, and it's linked to my Twitter, my Facebook, YouTube. There's all sorts of footage, media, blogging, and everything. Everything, you know, it's like a video diary, you know, everything. So it's www.nickdelpopolo.com. There's also a PayPal button on the website where you can donate anything from a cent to however much money you feel like donating. So anything else, and I'm glad that I get a chance to talk about that just because it is tough the last 4 years to get by and travel. And
sure.
It's just tough financially, so.
Yeah, and you got a good site there, and it's a lot of pictures and just a little bit of everything about you, and you do a good job with that, whoever manages the site for you.
That's my girlfriend. She does everything. I would love to take credit for it, but I really don't do anything.
We'll keep that girl around because she's doing a good job for you. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Nick, we really appreciate you coming on, and we're going to be watching and wish you the best of luck.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You're giving everybody a reason to watch judo, and I can't wait to see you on there. And as we wrap up here, just want to let everyone know that Netcast Studio has other shows that may be of interest to you, and you can just head on over to netcaststudio.com and check out all the content available. This has been the Tech of Sports podcast with Nick Del Popolo, Netcast Studio Production.